Welcome to today's episode of the Unscripted Small Business Podcast. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest, Nikki Ballou, an international best-selling author, podcast host, and entrepreneur who's helped countless people transform their businesses and lives. Nikki's journey is nothing short of inspiring. Born in the Middle East, he immigrated to the U.S. and since has built a successful career helping entrepreneurs scale their businesses, become thought leaders, and make a meaningful impact. With over 650 podcast episodes recorded and a track record of helping clients add 7 to 9 figures to their businesses, Nikki knows what it takes to succeed. In this episode, we dive into Nikki's personal story, the power of human connection in business, the importance of decisive action, and the art of reframing sales as service. Get ready for a conversation filled with energy and inspiration. Let's get started. Nikki, it's so wonderful having you in the studio today. Thank you for being here.
Abby, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. God bless you.
So to get started, I know we're going to talk a lot about thought leadership today, but I want to just hear from you. Give us a little bit of your background story. How did you get started in entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. I'm actually originally an immigrant from the Middle East. I'm a Christian from Iran. When I was 11 years old, the Islamic Revolution took place in Iran. And my mom and dad, you know, God bless them, they saw these pitched gun battles going on in the streets, and they thought, this isn't going to be a place to raise a Christian family. So they made a plan to get me and my two brothers out of Iran, and it took a while to do it. It took almost 4 years before it was finally executed. But just picture this. I'm a kid. Mom and dad say we're leaving our home, our friends. I don't want to go. I want to stay with my friends. I want to live in my home. But, you know, obviously, mom and dad win, right? They decided to get us out of there, and they did. And at first, it was hard for me. I used to cry myself to sleep every night for a long, long time. But over time, it just became clear to me what an incredible sacrifice my mom and dad made for me and my two brothers. As you think about it, they took us from a legacy of tyranny to a legacy of freedom. Iran, under the Shah, was, you know, quite liberal in many ways. Under the mullahs, not liberal in any way whatsoever. And I started to see, you know, what an incredible gift they gave us. And if you think about it, if you're an entrepreneur, you really need to love and appreciate freedom. Freedom is what gives you the ability to think and express yourself, to engage in enterprise. That's free enterprise. You know, and I think every man, every woman alive wants to be free, wants to march to the tune of their own drummer. And so if you're an entrepreneur, you got to be a champion for freedom. And there's been a lot of forces over the last few years that have tried to take our freedoms away from us. And I think we all need to stand up for freedom to make sure that doesn't happen, number one. And my dad, he was an entrepreneur. If you knew him, Abby, and you were looking for work, he'd sit you down in his office. He'd call up all his buddies until he got you a job. If you're trying to start a business, he'd sit you down in his office. He'd hear what you have to say and give you his best advice, give you access to his network to get you capital and clients. And if you knew him and you were trying to buy a car or a house and the bank wouldn't give you quite enough money, which would happen in Iran back in those days, you'd go up to him and you'd go, Mr. Ballou, I need $5,000, $10,000, $50,000. He'd write you a check so you could buy that car or that house. And then you tried to pay him back 2 years, 3 years down the road, and he'd say, come on, get out of here. That was a gift, not a loan. And people just wouldn't believe that. People today say to me, come on, man, who's really like that? They're like, well, my dad was, Napoleon Ballou, for one. They said, why? I said, I'll tell you why. Because he was a devout and committed Christian. He believed he'd been blessed by God and by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was his duty as a devout Christian to share those blessings with other people. I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl last night, but a lot of the players, when they asked them, you know, how does it feel? They all started, and it gladdened my heart. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. I am nobody. I am nothing. The glory is all God's. And that's how they started what they were going to say. And it was just a beautiful thing to say. There's a lot of people out there like that. And that's what my dad was like. And then people go, well, why else would he do it? I said, well, he could. He was rich. He had the money. You know what I mean? And I wanted to be just like him. I wanted to be somebody that people looked up to. I wanted to be somebody who helped people. You know, my dad would come to me and say to me when I was young, he'd say, son, life is not about numbers or money. It's about people. Mm-hmm. And I just go, okay. And just say, even business, son, it's not about money. It's about people. I said, dad, but without money, you can't do business. He said, that's true, son. But imagine without people, you don't need money to do business. What is business? Imagine a Venn diagram. Problems, people, profit. Business is solving problems for people to make a profit. That's the purpose of business. Nothing else, nothing more. And when I got into business, I started helping other entrepreneurs be successful. And I met a lot of good people, Abby, good human beings, big hearts. But maybe business, you know, wasn't their forte. They were scared of marketing or sales. They didn't want to be seen as pushy or salesy or reeking of commission breath when they walked in the room. So they wouldn't go after business. And, you know, that would hurt them. They wouldn't get the business they should have gotten. That person they could have helped wouldn't get their help. And then some charlatan marketer would come in and scoop up the business, but they don't care if they deliver or not. And everybody loses in that case. And I came from a business family. So I thought, okay, listen, I'm going to help these people. Let's help them reframe sales to service, because no one likes to be sold. Abby, you don't want to be sold. I don't want to be sold. But don't you love being served by a caring person? And that's what it was. We took away sales calls. We made them service calls and help calls. And then so many good people, you know, would go and serve people. They'd double their business, triple their business. Nothing else changed. Just their attitude about what they were doing changed.
I love that point that you said, because that is what business is about. It's about serving other people. What is one of the mindsets that you like to help instill in your clients when you're working with them, trying to get them from that sales mindset to that service-based mindset?
Well, that's a great question. I'll share this with you by sharing a story. About 5 years ago, there was a wonderful lady who was introduced to us. She was a functional medicine doctor. We sat down with her and we said, hey, tell us, how do you get clients? She said, well, you know, I don't want to be pushy or salesy. So you don't pursue them? No, they'll call me if they need me. And I said, look, but what if they don't know to call you, or they don't remember to, or whatever the reason is? What if they go work with so-and-so? And she goes, oh my God, that person's terrible. I said, you need to be in the service business. She said, I do. I go, yeah. What does that mean? I said, you need to make service calls on people. So she started calling people service calls. She doubled her income in a year just out of doing service calls. She went to over $250,000 just like that. And then the second year, I said, okay, we need to get a little bit more sophisticated in how we're doing this with you. Let's take a look at your business. I said, who do you help? She said, I can help anyone with any health problem. And I said, no, that's not going to work. Come on. She says, so what do I do? I said, we need to narrow your niche. So I invented this tool called the ideal client tool. And so I had to create a Venn diagram again. I like Venn diagrams. And one of the circles was best results. The other circle was love the most. And the final circle was easiest to work with. Made a list of all the people she got the best results for. Made a list of all the people she loved working with. Made a list of all the people that were easy to work with, i.e. when you gave them a price, they paid you in full. They sent you referrals, no fuss, no muss, no hassles. Within 2 years, she doubled her income every year. So she went from quarter million to $500,000 to $1 million a year. 3-year journey. That's what it took. First, stop looking at things as sales, but look at it as service. Second, focus on the people that you're really meant to help. And that's how she created a great result for herself. And honestly, if you're in business, you ought to be thinking to yourself, how can I be someone with a service mindset? And how can I narrow my focus to the people that I really ought to help?
You talk about service phone calls. Share with us more about what a service phone call looks like.
Well, imagine, right? There was a time before the internet, before social media, when the way most people did business is they either met in person or they had phone calls. That was it. I know, it's like mind-blowing, right? That's a thing. But that's how people did it. And Abby, it worked because there was a human-to-human connection. You know, you actually spoke with the human being and you could feel their energy. You could feel their love, you know. And I'm 57 years old. I actually was alive when that was the thing. So I remember when you spoke to people and you met with them. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm a dinosaur compared to some young folks. But I find that to be the most effective way to do business, is to meet people, to speak to them, to get to know them. And the first thought that I've always had is to call people I already know at least a little bit, speak to them and connect with them and ask some questions and maybe even meet with them. And a service call looks like, I want to get to know this person first. I want to see what they're dealing with. I want to know what pain they're going through. And then I want to know if what I do can alleviate that pain. Because if the answer is yes, then it's my job to have a conversation with them about alleviating the pain.
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then it's no. I just had a wonderful conversation with a wonderful human being. Not every conversation has to immediately lead to a transaction, you know? In fact, most conversations will never lead to a transaction. Mm. But the conversations are what create the opportunity for a powerful relationship. That's what creates the opportunity for amazing transactions.
I love that you're touching on, you know, human connection, because I think that as we're kind of going into this more digital age, we're losing a lot of the human connection, especially after COVID. You know, we were all in lockdown. We didn't get to see each other face to face. How do you feel like that's kind of shifted the way that branding has, you know, shifted focus over the past couple of years?
Well, everyone's going on social media these days. Digital has just become overwhelming. So there's no question that it's out there. But it's so noisy that most people tune it out. You know what I mean? I tune out 99.99% of that stuff. Like, if I need to get my car fixed, I've been seeing this mechanic. I'm only going to go to him. If he can't do it, I'll ask him for a recommendation on someone can. Whoever he says, that's who I'm going to do business with. Trust me, it ain't going to be somebody who put a digital ad on Instagram that I'm going to go to, right? It's just not going to be that way for me. I think as much as we are disconnected, people crave that connection. They want that connection. And if you create that connection for them and you offer it, they're going to eat it up.
Is there a way for business to utilize these different platforms to create connection? Or do you find that you need to just kind of more so focus on phone calls and in-person relation?
Well, I think there is. Those businesses can use those platforms in order to facilitate in-person conversations and phone calls. But I don't think there's a substitute for that. Like, look, let's say you have $500,000 a year business, right? And you want to turn it into a $2 million a year business. And you're looking to see, well, is there a coach or a mentor that I want to hire to help me? Now, are you going to go online and see who's a popular influencer? Is that going to be the way you're going to decide to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of your money? Or are you going to go try to really get to know someone? See who your friends have been using. See who you've listened to on 10 or 20 podcasts. See if they'd be willing to have a conversation with you. Honestly, I think almost everyone's going to say the latter. I want someone that I feel somewhat connected to, right? I don't have to have known them for 10 years or anything like that, but I need to feel like this is a good person. They know what they're doing. This isn't some charlatan who's going to try to rip me off.
Do you feel like the main issue that a lot of business owners face when they're trying to scale their business is that they're just kind of missing their niche market, or they don't know how to tell a proper story?
Yes and yes. A lot of people who go into business, like I said at the beginning of our interview, they're good people. They know how to help people. Their skill set in helping people is top notch, but their skill set in business is not. They don't know how to market. They don't know how to sell. And both of those skills are super, super important. If you don't have sales, you don't have a business. You have a hobby. Okay? You have to be good at selling. Have to be. Period. Full stop. End the story. Right? And if someone cannot wrap their head around that, they're never going to get lift off. Secondly, if you want to be successful, Abby, you got to have like four super duper qualities of success minded individuals. So number one, you got to be decisive. Successful people are decisive people. They don't kick tires. They're like, this is it. I'm doing it. I'm growing my business. Secondly, you've got to be committed to the process. Whatever it is you want to get better at, be it business, fitness, you got to put in the reps. You got to get good at sales. You got to get good at branding. You got to get good at marketing. You got to do the reps every day. Right. Thirdly, you need to invest in you. And you need to be coachable. That means buy the books, do the courses, hire the coaches, do the masterminds, attend the conferences. You are the most important asset in your business. The more you invest in you, the faster you're going to develop. It just makes sense. And then you got to be resourceful. You got to come up with the time, energy, and the money to do this. Without that, you're toast. So to me, these are the four qualities you got to have if you really, really want to win. And I can't work with someone who doesn't embrace all four of these qualities.
Going back to that first step and being very decisive, what advice would you give to somebody that really struggles with making decisions? Where do you find that inner strength to just say, yes, like I'm going to make this decision right now?
There's a clip on YouTube called Stop It with Bob Newhart, who's a old TV star, comedy TV star. And I would advise you to watch that clip and take the advice of Bob Newhart, which is to stop whatever way you've been doing things and start doing things differently. Because if you don't, you're never going to succeed. It's up to you. You got to look in the mirror and go, I'm now decisive. Even if you've never been decisive in your life, you're going to go, I'm now decisive. For the next 2 weeks, be a yes or no to everything instantly. Don't even think about it. Yes or no instantly. And you have to say yes to at least 50% of the things. So you can't say no to everything because that's too easy. So a minimum, and I want you to keep track the next 2 weeks. Whatever gets put in front of you, one out of every two you say yes to. And you don't get to think about anything. Immediately, yes or no. That's practice.
So I want to go into what thought leadership is, because I know that's kind of your specialty, is that you're a thought leader in the space of business and entrepreneurship. But tell us what your definition of a thought leader is.
That's a great question. So one of my mentors put it like this. He drew a distinction between an expert and a thought leader. He said an expert is someone who knows something, right? Those are a dime a dozen. Lots of people know things. But a thought leader is someone who's known for knowing something. Now, those are rare and valuable, right? They're known for what they can do for you. Another way to put it is an expert's like a cover band while a thought leader plays original music. Right? And when you're a thought leader, you have people going, yeah, this person is someone I want to know, I want to learn from, all of that good stuff. And if they have a problem, they're going to see you as the go-to person in your space to help them solve it. That's the value of thought leadership, right?
Do you think that all thought leaders are experts?
I think all thought leaders need to have a level of understanding of a topic that can be helpful to people. So in that sense, yes. I mean, if you don't know what you're talking about, you can't be a thought leader.
Awesome. So if people want to work with you and they want to become more of a thought leader, where can they find you?
I offer something called a success coaching call. The way you get on that is you go to eastcircleacademy.com/appointment. It is free and there's no strings attached. But I ask that if you're coming on that call, that you've made a decision that you want to change your life.
Sure. Awesome. Well, I have one more question for you, and this is something that I like to ask every guest that comes on the show, and it's kind of one of those Mad Lib fill-in-the-blank questions. So the question is, you have to blank to blank.
You have to blank is love the process to, and the other blank is get the result.
I love it. Nikki, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found value in today's conversation, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And as always, don't forget to share this episode with anyone that you think could benefit. And for more information about today's guest, be sure to check out the show notes. We'll see you next time.